Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I was going through this passage through my message last night, as I usually do on a Saturday night. And I was there and I was going through, and then I thought to myself, you know what, this would actually make a really good Father's Day message. And then I got the shocking realization that Father's Day is in 2 weeks. God sort of said, look, I want you to preach this anyway, so I don't know what's going to happen on Father's Day, but pretend this is a Father's Day message, all right? Pretend it's Father's Day. But the message this morning is called Fathers, Bring Them Up, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. This whole section that we've been looking at in the book of Ephesians has been an exercise in submission. And church, we've looked at a wife, submission to the husband, and children to parents, and servants to masters, basically the employees to employers. And this next section is no different. It gives an instructions to fathers and calls on them to submit, and not to their children, obviously, but to the Lord about their children. So this message, again, guys, it's relevant to everyone in this room. We're either going to apply it in our own lives, we're going to be able to teach someone, we're going to be able to encourage someone with it, but the Word of God is profitable for all. So please don't switch off today. Like other aspects of the illustrations that we've been looking at, this one is often very difficult for fathers to do. But church, they are called to do it anyway. The question is, are you capable? The question is, are you able? The answer today is, of course you are, because God will not call you to do something that is not given you the capability of achieving. So when God calls us, any of us, to a certain role, a task, and a obedience of a command, we are well able to fulfill it with God's enabling. As long as, the precursor is, as long as we do it His way, okay? So when God calls us to something, are we able to do it? Of course we are, if we do it His way. A lot of the times we go, Lord, you've asked me to do this, and I'm trying to do that, and I'm trying to obey you in here, and it doesn't seem to work, and it's not happening. Well, check if you're doing it God's way, okay? Because when we do it our own way, it's always harder, and it may not work. So what is it, folks, that God is calling us to, or calling dads to do here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4? In a word is this, it is the father's responsibility to bring up his children to love and serve God. And so God says, two fathers in the text, have a look at it with me, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4, and he says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning for the Word of God. Lord, we pray that you'd give us all ears to hear. Encourage our hearts with the word, with what the Word of God says, Lord. I pray, Father, you'd help us to keep the distractions of the world aside for just a little while, and help us to concentrate on what the Spirit is saying. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We ask that you'd have your will and your way with this message this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said. So let me give you several statements along our premise this morning. But before we get to them, church, let me say this to you. There is no responsibility God gives a man that carries more eternal weight than the responsibility of raising his children, bar being the husband God has called you to be, after being the child of God he has called you to be. You see, folks, a father can provide a good home. He can put food on the table. He can pay the bills. He can give his children an education. He can teach them how to work. And I mean, he can teach them also. I mean, he can teach them how to ride a motorcycle. And he can teach them how to cook, some really nice meals. And he can teach, how to change a tire and to do 100 other things. And those things, folks, let me tell you, are really, really important. But Dad, none of those things are the most important thing that you will ever do for your children. The greatest thing you can give your children is a father who teaches them to know God, to love God, and to obey God, and to serve the Lord God. And that's why this command in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4, is so weighty and so sobering for us dads. Notice in our text that God doesn't say, fathers, make sure that your children turn out right. He says, fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God has given you the responsibility, and I'll say this slowly, not the guarantee of the outcome. He has given you the responsibility for their upbringing. And Dad, you don't get to delegate that responsibility to the church, to the Sunday school teacher, to the grandparents, to the youth leaders, to the Christian school. And listen, Dads, you don't get to delegate that even to Mum. They can help you, but they can never, ever take your place. And so this morning, before we talk about how a father brings up his children, we need to understand what God expects from him. So let me give you some things here. Point number one, what fathers must understand. It is the father's responsibility to raise his children to love and serve God. Now, this responsibility is every bit, church, as necessary as providing for their physical needs. Just as if not more important than feeding them and educating them and so on. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but if any provoke not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So we rightly understand, folks, that a father has a responsibility to feed his children. He has a responsibility to clothe them and to put a roof over their heads and to provide for their physical needs. But Dad, listen, your children have spiritual needs too. And if we neglect that responsibility, God likens that to an unbeliever who has rejected Christ. And if we would never dream of saying, you know what, I'll let somebody else worry about feeding my children and I'll let somebody else worry about, protecting my family, protecting my children, why would we ever say, you know what, I'll let somebody else worry about teaching my children to love God? Why on earth have we ever come up with that philosophy of life? I need to provide for them here and there and this and that. But when it comes to spiritual things, a lot of the time Dad goes, oh, that's someone else can do that. We can bring children to church. And listen, and thank God for every child who has faithful parents that bring their kids regularly. Amen. But there is something profoundly different about a child who grows up every day watching their father love God and read his Bible and pray and faithfully attend church, that he obeys the scriptures and serves the Lord God. Folks, the church can teach your children what God says, but Dad, listen, your life teaches them what you really believe. And listen, this has to be, Dads, listen, this has to be a priority in your life. And I would be very, very careful in telling you that God has given every father the capability to guarantee success. Scripture doesn't promise that godly parenting guarantees a child will serve God. God gives the father the responsibility and the resources to obey, but yet the child still has to make that decision on their own in the long run. God never asks a father to guarantee the spiritual outcome of his children. God asks a father to faithfully obey him in raising them. Take Samuel in the Old Testament, for example. Samuel was one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. He was a faithful man. He was a judge. He was a servant of God. And yet when he grew old, his sons named Joel and Abiah, the Bible tells us, did not walk in Samuel's ways. In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, let me read it to you. It says, "And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba." And then verse number 3 says this, "And his sons walked not in the ways of the Lord, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment." And folks, listen, as I was thinking about that, that's powerful, because the Bible doesn't tell us Samuel was in any way a negligent father. In fact, everything that we know about the prophet Samuel points into being completely the opposite. Amen? He was a man who honored God from childhood through his entire life. And so I believe that, you know, Samuel was a godly father, but he could not make his sons to be godly men. I mean, he could teach them, and he could train them, and he set the right example, and he could have given them every opportunity to follow God, but he could not choose for them. And fathers, listen, that's an important distinction this morning. God has given you the responsibility to raise your children for him, but he has not given you the responsibility or the ability to make their choices for them. Your job is to be faithful to God. Their response to God is ultimately their choice. So, Dad, listen, don't carry a weight that isn't yours to bear. Don't measure your success as a father merely by whether your children always make the right choices. Measure it first by whether you have faithfully obeyed God in making the right choices as their father. So let me bring you point number two. This doesn't mean that mum cannot be involved. But listen, Dad, it does mean that the buck stops with you. Now let me make something very clear this morning. When God says in our text, "Ye fathers, bring them up," he's not saying that mothers have no role in the spiritual upbringing of the children. Quite the opposite, folks. Mothers have an enormous influence over their children. My wife read the Bible to my children. My wife taught my kids to memorize scripture. I remember when, especially Gabriel, who just needed a little bit of extra encouragement at school, and there was a trophy at the end of the year. Still a trophy, scripture memory trophy. It's still there, and we wanted him to get the trophy. So Mum really helped him to memorize the vast amount of scripture memory that he had to learn, and Mum did that. My wife motivated Kaylee and Gabriel to read the Bible, and look, I'm incredibly thankful for the spiritual investment that my wife had in the spiritual life of my children. But not once, folks, did I ever say, "You know what? In all of that, that's just Mum's job." I didn't leave the spiritual upbringing of my children entirely to my wife. Dad, your wife may do more of the teaching, She may spend more of more time with the children, and she may read more Bible stories and pray with them more often, and you know, teach them more verses and answer more of their spiritual questions. I mean, thank God for a mother who does all of that. But when God looks at the spiritual leadership of the home, He addresses the father. And dad, listen, you should know exactly what is going on in your family and be over all of that. You should be leading that. The buck stops with you, dad. Take family Bible study, for example. I pray you all have one. That's one reason why I believe the father ought to take the lead in family Bible study. You know, mum may prepare it, and mum may have wonderful ideas, and mum may even know more about that particular subject that you're studying, but dad, don't hand your Bible to mum and say, you know what, you take it from here. Dad, I want to encourage you. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to preach a sermon around the dinner table and give the introduction and 3 points and a conclusion and then call an invitation. You simply need to say, as for me and my house, we're going to get into the Word of God tonight. Dad, listen, sometimes you may only need to read 5 or 6 verses and ask a couple of questions. That's okay. Your children don't need a Bible college lecturer, folks. They need a father who believes the Bible is important enough to open it with them. And this doesn't just apply to family Bible study, folks. It applies when you're sitting here in the pew. It applies to church. It applies to the ministry. Again, you know, mum can be heavily involved and thank God when she is. And she can go ahead and teach Sunday school and she can work in the children's ministries and she can even disciple the kids and she can encourage them to read the Bibles and she can pray with them. But dad, don't sit back and say, well, my wife is handling all that. No way. God didn't give the command to your wife. He gave it to you. And in my home, Corinne got heavily involved, and I thank God for that, but I didn't want to stand before God one day and say, oh, Lord, you know what? I left it to her. Yes, she helped me. Yes, she encouraged me. Yes, she taught alongside of me, but what she could never do is take the responsibility from me. Because when God said, ye fathers, bring them up, He was talking to me. Dad, you don't have to do everything. But you do have to take the responsibility. You don't have to teach every lesson, but you must make sure your children are being taught. You don't have to lead every prayer, but you must make sure the prayer is an important part of your home. You don't need to answer every spiritual question, but you must make sure your children know where to find the answers to their questions. And mum can be your partner in raising them for God, but dad, she must never ever become your substitute. Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5. Paul writes, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. I mean, that's one of the most famous Bible verses in the New Testament. Who's never heard of that? I mean, we've all heard of that. And here, Paul specifically mentions Lois and Eunice as spiritual influences in Timothy's life. But then the book of Acts tells us, but his father was a Greek. Far out these Greeks, man. They're everywhere. I can't even get away from them in the scriptures, Sister Carolyn. And Timothy had a godly mother. Timothy had a godly grandmother. You know what? And thank God for both of them. His mother Eunice and grandmother Lois clearly invested spiritually into the life of this young man. But did you notice something? God's pattern is not that dad gets out of it because mom or even grandma is involved. Timothy's mother did what she could. His grandmother did what she could. But God still held Timothy's dad accountable, even though he probably wasn't even a believer. The accountability stands. I say this with all the love I can muster. Sometimes we have mixed marriages. I know that because for a short time, I was part of that. What do you mean by mixed marriages? Was my wife was saved and I wasn't. So I want to encourage you mums of kids that have an unsaved husband. Encourage your husbands in this. Because this is not something that they get away with because they're not saved. God still holds them accountable to that. And ladies, listen, thank God for your influence. And men, don't make your wife have to carry what God has commanded you to carry. Dad, you need to take the lead. The buck stops with you. One interesting thing about 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, it says that Timothy had known the Holy Scriptures from when? From a child, exactly. So clearly his mother had done, you know, a tremendous job spiritually, yet that didn't cancel the father's responsibility. And look, I'm not claiming for one moment, folks, that Timothy's father was necessarily a bad man. This is why I encourage you, ladies, share with unsaved husbands. I'm not saying Timothy's dad was a wicked man. We simply aren't given enough information to say that. But clearly, the spiritual responsibility for raising his son was delegated to the mum and to the grandma, folks, and that was wrong. Otherwise, God would have praised the dad. And he didn't. Point number three. This doesn't mean the church or the school cannot be involved, but it does mean that the buck still stops with you, Dad. Now, don't misunderstand me, folks. When God gives the responsibility to fathers, again, he isn't saying that nobody else can have influence over our children. And right now, I'd like to say thank God for the local New Testament church and the influence they have in our children's life. Thank God for faithful Sunday school teachers. Thank God for youth ministry and thank God for, you know, the camps and thank God for all these ministries that invest time and resources into ministering to the children's lives. You know, thank God for pastors and Christian school teachers. I thank God for every godly influence my children have ever had. But Dad, let me remind you this morning that these people are tools God can use in your children's lives. They are not a replacement for you. A wise father will use every biblical tool God puts in his hands. A foolish father ignores dangerous influences. He says things like, oh, you know, they're good kids. They'll eventually figure that stuff out. A foolish dad just, you know, doesn't care what the kids are watching on TV or on their PC or even doesn't care to have a look at what's going on their phone. He doesn't care what they're listening to. He doesn't care who their friends are. He doesn't care what they're being taught. Get involved. And just because they go to a Christian school doesn't mean that it's hunky-dory, folks. Oh, I had some battles. I had some battles. I remember Mr. Lees, and I remember his patience with me. Because I had some problems with some of the things that the kids came home with that they had to read. And more than once, we agreed to disagree, and they made an exception for my children. But we need to get involved, folks. You need to know, Dad, what's going on in your kids' life, what they're thinking about and what they're looking at and what they're listening to and who they're meeting with in the playground and who they're meeting at church. Foolish dad doesn't care what they're being taught. Folks, that's not wisdom. That's called abdication. It means I don't care about it, so someone else can do it. You cannot abdicate your fatherhood ministry, folks. But there's another mistake that fathers can make. A foolish father uses only the tools that God has given him. Just uses those tools. You know, a typical, you know, sermon prep. I talk with a bearded wonder here, you know, and we sort of work roughly the same, you know, I have Mondays off the day with my wife, and Tuesdays I work. So my ministry week really starts on a Wednesday. And on a Wednesday morning, the wife and the daughter, they go to work, and it's just me and Daisy, and Daisy sleeps at my feet, and she encourages me, and it's just me, and I sit at my table, and I pull up my computer, Adobe Illustrator, and I get my notes ready, and I'll get my Greek lexicon and my dictionary, and I'll get my commentaries, and I'll get my study Bible, and I put all these tools out. But you know what happens, folks? These messages just don't appear out of those tools. You have to use what God has given you, those tools, to produce what God wants you to produce. And if I don't take the responsibility to use what God has given me in all these resources, nothing will ever get done. And dads, listen, if you just use the tools and expect the tools to do your work in your children's life, nothing is going to get done in the life of your kids. He sends them to a Christian school, and he sends them to Sunday school, and he brings them to church, and then he thinks, well, I've done my job. No, Dad, you've provided some good tools, but God still gave you the responsibility to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. These are things that God has given you to help you. A wise dad says, you know, I want church to reinforce what I'm teaching at home, and I want what they're learning at school to reinforce what we're teaching them from the scriptures. He never asked the church to raise his children. He partners with the church in raising the children. Look at King Joash in 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 2. Let me read that to you. The Bible says there in 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 2, and Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. So Jehoiada the priest had an enormous godly influence on Joash. As long as that godly influence was there, Joash the king did right. But then, the Bible says, and Jehoiada the priest waxed old and was full of days when he died. 2 Chronicles chapter 21 verse 15. And after Jehoiada died, Joash went badly astray, folks. Joash had a godly priestly influencing him, but the influence of the priest could not replace the responsibility of the king that never was involved in Joash's life. And Dad, listen, that's the danger of relying entirely on the church or entirely on the school or entirely on another godly influence. What happens when that influence is removed? If your children's faith depends entirely upon their Sunday school teacher, what happens when they leave Sunday school? If their Christianity depends entirely upon their Christian school, what happens when they graduate? If their walk with God depends entirely upon the youth ministry, what happens when they go to university? Then you'll know what is trying to influence your child. Trust me. Dad, you need to be building something into them that goes with them home. The church should strengthen what is happening in your home, not compensate for what isn't happening in your home. So let me give you a couple of things here of what fathers must do. Listen up. This is for everyone. But dads, listen. This is what you must do. Watch that your actions do not provoke anger. What on earth does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Paul says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, this isn't talking about the petty teasing that makes your children annoyed with you or the temporary anger that comes when dad says no. Sometimes doing the right thing will make your children unhappy with you. You know what? So be it. We rather obey God than men. Amen? If I want God to bless my family and especially my children, and if that means that I honor God and they're going to get a bit cranky with dad, well, so be it. If you discipline them the way God said in the Word of God, you know what? You probably realize they probably won't like it. If you establish some godly boundaries, they may test them. They may resist them. If you say no to something that they want, they may get angry. That isn't what Paul is warning us about here, folks. It isn't capitulating to every whim of the children because I'm not allowed to get them angry. That's not what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about a pattern of careless or sinful fathering that produces deep-seated anger, resentment, and bitterness in the child. When they grow up and you hear things like, oh no, you know what about my old man? He cared more about his career than he ever did about me. He would rather spend more time on the internet. He would rather spend more time on Facebook. He would rather spend more time playing video games than spend time with me. This is what this is talking about. It can come through as hypocrisy, folks. You tell them to do what dad doesn't do. It can come through as harshness, where every correction becomes an angry explosion. It comes through as inconsistency, where the rules change depending on dad's mood. Some days it's almost okay, and another day you come down on them like a ton of bricks for the exact same thing. I remember being guilty of that. When the children look at you, it was all right yesterday when I took the chair out of my sister's where she was sitting down. You laughed yesterday, and today, Inconsistency. It can come through as unreasonable demands where children can never seem to please the dad or the parent. Neglect. Where dad is physically present but emotionally and spiritually absent. And of course, we have actual abuse in all its forms, which has no place whatsoever in biblical fatherhood. But notice what Paul doesn't say here. Paul doesn't say, fathers, never make your children angry. He says, provoke not your children to wrath. Dad, you are still going to have to take a stand sometimes. You are still going to have to say no. You are still going to have to discipline them. You are still going to have to enforce godly standards in your home. But let me encourage you, pick your battles carefully and don't make everything a battle. And when you do take a stand, let that stand come from a heart of love wrapped in a life of consistency. Your kids may not always agree with you, but they should eventually be able to look back and say, you know what? Dad was firm, but Dad loved me. Yeah, Dad had some high and lofty biblical standards, but Dad was consistent. Dad, you know, Dad corrected me and I copped it, but Dad was never against me. Folks, that's biblical fatherhood. Leads me to point number two. Be a dad on purpose. Parent on purpose. Paul says, bring them up. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The thought behind bring them up is to rear and to raise and to bring to maturity. In other words, there is somewhere that you're trying to lead these children to. You're trying to take them to a place. Parenting is not supposed to be, well, let's just see how they turn out. No, God gave you mum and dad. Dad, listen, God gave you a destination. Dad, you are trying to raise children who know God and love God and obey God and serve God, and that's the goal. That's the goal. That's the goal. Can I ask you, dads, is that the goal you have in your mind for your children? Or is it education and career? Don't answer this. Have you encouraged your kids to pray about seeking if God would have them be these young men to go into the ministry? If they could be used of the Lord to change and turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ? You've missed the mark, folks. If that hasn't even entered your thinking, you've missed the mark with the will of God for your kids. I'm not saying God's going to call everyone to be a preacher, but he's not going to call everyone to be a doctor or whatever. You have to think about what you're doing. You can't parent by accident flying by the seat of your pants, folks. You have to make decisions about what they watch. You have to make decisions about what they listen to. You have to make decisions about who their friends are. And that doesn't change while they're living under your roof. I know, folks, I have a 23-year-old that left home only 3 weeks ago. And even at 23, I still decided what he did while he was living under my roof. And now he's moved out and he's, you know, we're going to go visit him today. I still have input into his life. But we've got a parent on purpose. Making decisions. You make decisions about who is allowed to influence my kids. Stop just going with the flow because we're tired. Stop just going with the flow because we're tired of life. This life is sucking the fatherhood out of good, godly men. If you simply go with the flow, folks, the current will take your children where you don't want them to go. And Dad, listen, if you don't deliberately direct your children's influences, their media, their friends, their culture, the world will begin directing them for you. And that current is almost always going the wrong way. So for all that is holy, get some biblical knowledge yourself. Meditate much upon this thing, Dad. Pray much about it. And then go ahead, parent with purpose, and most importantly, trust the Lord with your children. Don't just raise your kids hoping they'll turn out right. Raise them deliberately towards the Lord and then trust them. If you don't decide what's going to shape your children, folks, somebody else will make that decision for you. Which leads me to point number three. I'm watching the clock. Disciple and train them. Disciple and train them. Paul says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That word nurture carries the idea of training and discipline and instruction. Biblical parenting isn't simply telling your children what is right. It is teaching them what is right, training them what is right, correcting them when they do wrong, and disciplining them when their correction is ignored. You know what that's going to take, folks? It's going to take work. Dad, teach them about the God of their father. Teach them what God expects. Teach them what is right. Teach them what is wrong. Teach them God's word. And then you train them in God's word. Don't just tell a child, oh, you need to be respectful, Johnny. Teach them what respect looks like and practice it with them. Oh, don't just say to your kid, oh, you need to pray, son. No, teach them to pray. Don't just tell them to have, oh, you need to have good manners. Tell, you know, you need to tell the truth and you need to work hard and you need to obey. You train them. You practice with them in all those things. And when they fail, you reprove them. You correct them. You bring the wrong behavior to their attention and you show them from God's word why it was wrong. And when the words of reproof are ignored, discipline becomes necessary. And folks, let me say this to you. Discipline isn't Dad losing his temper and flying off the handle. Discipline is Dad calmly administering the correction necessary to teach his children that disobedience has consequences. Folks, we have a generation of children, we have a generation of young people that have no idea that the wages of sin is death. They have no idea that the consequences, that there are consequences for your actions. The goal isn't to hurt the child, the goal is to train the child. Fair dinkum, folks, let me tell you, it's not hard. You know what? We just lack the conviction to do it God's way. Dad, listen, your children are not born knowing how to live for God. They have to be taught. They have to be trained. They have to be corrected. And sometimes they will have to be disciplined. That's what God means when he says, bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. Don't merely punish bad behavior. Use every opportunity to train good character. Fourthly, admonish them. Admonish them. What dads ought to do, you ought to admonish your children. Paul says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word admonition carries the idea of cautionary advice, church. someone warning about danger or the consequences of a wrong course. You know, we used to go when the kids were younger as a family through where did Dad used to go for fishing and stuff as family holidays? We used to go as a kid. I've completely lost my Foster. And we used to go to Foster as a kid, and you know Foster has the bar which goes out to the ocean. And it's a bit treacherous there, right? You go through that bar at your own risk. And I remember seeing at the end of the bar, at the end of the break, was these two massive signs. It actually says, in a big swell, don't go out, right? Because you might not be able to get back in. And many people have lost their life by ignoring the admonition that's on those signs, the warning. In fact, Corinne's grandfather tipped his boat in that same bar, ignored the signs, and they both managed, him and his grandson, Corinne's brother, managed to swim to the shore. Okay, the boat went down. What happens? It's just the total lack of paying attention to the admonition. When your children are young, you're going to spend more time nurturing and disciplining. You're going to say things like, don't touch that, don't do that, you must obey. But as your children mature, something needs to change, folks. You spend more and more time explaining why you're doing that, because the goal isn't merely to produce children who obey the Father, the goal is to produce adults who honor and obey God. That's a proper transition from obedience to honor. When they're a toddler, you may say, don't do that because Dad said so. That's all right for a toddler. But as they grow, you want to be able to say, you know, let me show you why God's word says you shouldn't do that. You're teaching them to think biblically. And Dad, this also, one of the ways you avoid provoking them to wrath. If you treat a 17-year-old exactly like you treat a 7-year-old, you're going to create frustration. As they mature, your parenting must mature with them. You are preparing them for a future where you won't be standing beside them telling them what to do. You understand that one day they're going to have to make decisions without Dad standing over their shoulder. So prioritize the warning. Warn them about your own mistakes, what you have learned. Warn them from the mistakes of others so that they don't make them. And when they make mistakes themselves, use those mistakes as opportunity to teach them biblical wisdom. Don't simply say to your kids, oh, I told you so. Folks, that doesn't help anyone. So, you know, let's talk about what happened. I mean, what can we learn from this? What does God say about this? I mean, what are you going to do differently next time? Amen? Teach them. You're not just raising children who know how to obey. You're preparing adults who know how to walk with God. This is the goal. That they have a walk and a relationship with Jesus Christ themselves. When they're young, you hold their hand and you teach them where to walk. As they mature, you teach them how to choose that path for themselves. Last point here. One of the biggest things that's going to help you is to constantly, constantly remind them that this is not about you and their relationship with you. It is about God and their relationship with Him. That's what it's all about. Reminding them that this is all about their relationship with their Maker, with their God. Notice how Paul finishes the verse here. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the dad. No, it doesn't say that. He says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Lord. Dad, this is the most important thing you can teach your children. You're not raising them merely to be good children for you. I mean, that's what we want. We want our children to be good for us so they make us look good. Amen? You want people to come after the service and say, your two-year-old sat in the church service and didn't move, didn't say a word. I never had that, folks, all right? Ours was more, oh, thank goodness they're gone. We're not raising them to be merely good children for us. We are raising them to know and to walk with their God. And there will be times when your children obey because dad said so. And when they're young, again, that's appropriate. But eventually they need to understand that the reason we do right isn't simply because dad is watching. Because you know what I found out, folks? Dad won't always be watching. Mom won't always be watching. Their pastor won't always be watching. The teacher won't always be watching, but God will always be watching. And so we teach them. Don't lie. Not just because dad doesn't like lying. God says don't lie. Be pure. For all that is holy, please be pure. Not just because it would hurt you and your character and it's sinful. God says be pure. That is God's expectation. Go to church. Not just because mum and dad expect you to. I mean, we love the Lord and we want to worship Him and we want to gather with God's people and God wants us to go to church. That's why we go to church. We are constantly, listen, dads, we are constantly moving them from I do this because dad wants me to I do this because I love the Lord myself. And I love the fact that, you know, I never have to encourage my daughter to have a walk with God. I never have to tell her to read her Bible. I never have to tell her to pray. You know, sometimes I knock on the door in the morning and I'll open the door and she's there doing her devotions. I didn't have to get up time to do devotions. I did when she was 4 and 5 and 6. Not anymore, folks. We're trying to transition them where they take on the Christian life because they love the Lord. Because, folks, listen, if their Christianity is only about their relationship with you, one day they may rebel against you, and then they can think that they can rebel against God. But if you have taught them that their relationship with God is their own relationship with God, then even when they disagree with you, they still have to deal with their God. I may not agree with dad, but you know what? There's a God behind what dad is saying. That's the one I need to deal with. Dad, you're not God to your children. You're not their priest. You're their father. You're God's appointed steward and example in their lives. Your ultimate goal isn't to make them dependent upon you, it's to introduce them to a God upon whom they can depend on for the rest of their life. That's why Paul says to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Will your kids' Christianity continue if God takes you home, Dad? That's the goal. That's the goal. I want my children to walk with the Lord all their days of their life, even when Dad and Mum and Dad are gone. It's about Him. It's always been about Him. And if we get that right, if we achieve that of making Him priority in their life, we've done what God has asked us to do. When the kids grow up and God is number one in their life, you've been a good dad. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let me close with this. We're finished. You know why, folks, this is important? All of us, mums, dads, grandpas, listen up. You know why this is important, but especially dads? The devil is after your family. He wants, we've been looking at it, he wants your marriage. He wants your home. And he definitely wants your children. Nothing would make the devil more joyful than you being the last generation of God-honoring children of God. There are influences all around us fighting for the hearts and the minds of our kids. And eventually, your children will have to make their own decisions. You cannot make that decision for them. You cannot force them to love God. You cannot guarantee that they will always choose right. But Dad, listen, while they are under your care, you have a God-given responsibility to be always and every time pointing them to Jesus Christ. So don't be passive. Don't leave it to chance. Don't leave it entirely to mum. Don't leave it entirely to the church. Don't leave it entirely to the school. Dedicate yourself to it. Give yourself to it. You pray for them and you teach them and you train them and you correct them and you warn them and you love them and you lead them every day of your life. You give them everything that you've got. You give them everything that God has given you. Not so they will become what you want them to be, but so they might become what God wants them to be. And when they're all grown up, folks, the decision will be theirs. But until that day, Dad, Grandpa, you have a job to do. God has placed those children in your home and he has looked at you and said, you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So fathers, let's take that responsibility seriously. Amen. Let's raise children who know the scriptures. Let's raise children who know what is right. Let's raise children who have seen Christianity lived consistently in their home. And above everything else, let's raise children who know the Lord their God. Because one day, they'll leave our home, but our prayer ought to be that they never leave the Lord. Amen? Fathers, bring them up. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's stand, folks. Let's pray. I appreciate your patience this morning. Why don't we go ahead and pray and commit our homes to the Lord. Father, we come before you this morning with grateful hearts for the precious responsibility you have given us as fathers. Lord, we know that our children are not ours forever. They are gifts that you've entrusted us just for a short season. And Father, you know, we recognize today that we have a responsibility before you for how we raise them. And Lord, forgive us for the times that we have been careless. Forgive us for the times we have left spiritual things to mom and to the church, to the school, or to somebody else. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we have been inconsistent and impatient and harsh and dare I say, distracted or too busy to give our children what they truly need and deserve. Father, help us to take seriously your command, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Lord, I pray especially for the dads in this room this morning. Give them courage to lead and give them wisdom to know how to lead and give them patience to train and give them strength to discipline and give them the faith that they need to obey you. Give them tenderness to love their kids and give them wisdom to know when to speak and when to listen. Help them to choose their battles carefully, Lord, and when they must take a stand, help them to do it with a heart of love and a life of consistency. And Lord, help every father here to understand that he doesn't have to do everything, but he must take responsibility. Help him to show them by his own life what it means to love you and serve you. And Father, help us never to forget that this is ultimately not about us. Lord, our children don't belong to us. We acknowledge that this morning. They belong to you. We don't want them to simply obey dad, and we don't want them to simply obey. We want them to know you. We don't want them merely to fear disappointing us. We want them to love you. We want them to serve you only because they love you out of a heart, with all the heart and with all the soul and with all their mind, not just because mum and dad tell them to. And Heavenly Father, we know the day will come when they have to leave the nest, as it were, and make their own choices. We know that day comes. But until that day comes, help us to give them everything that you've given us. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be intentional. Help us to be godly fathers. And Lord, if there's a father here this morning who has realized, you know what, I haven't been doing what I should have been doing, Lord, I pray that he wouldn't leave here discouraged. That you would help him and encourage him to start today. Let today be the day that he says, as for me, I will take responsibility for my home. I will bring up my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Lord, would you protect our families? Protect our marriages, protect the hearts and minds of our children from the influence of this world and from the attacks of the devil. And may our homes, Lord, become places where our children see the reality of Christianity lived out in every single day. Genuine faith, genuine Christianity. And Lord, give us dads who will stand. Give us dads who will lead. Give us dads who will pray. Give us dads who will teach. And give us dads who will love their children unconditionally. And when our children are all grown up and they must choose their own path, Father God, may they look back and say, my dad showed me the way to the Lord. We commit that heart's desire to you this morning, and we ask it in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you.